The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you,
Lord. Grace to you and peace on this day of Pentecost from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Out of the heart. Our culture has a lot to say about that phrase. Do what you love and you will never work a day in your life. Follow your heart and dreams will come true. Let it go, by which is always meant stop regulating what the heart desires with the mind and the will, and wonderful things will happen. They're all basically forms of the noble savage, a romantic trope. It's just civilization and religion that get in the way of our natural flourishing. Imagine how great and self-fulfilled we would all be if those things would just disappear. The assumption is that only good things come out of the heart. Of course, that advice is contrary to the wisdom of every age and culture. Confucius would say, at 70, I could follow the dictates of my own heart. For what I desired no longer overstepped the boundaries of right. Took a lifetime of training for the heart to desire the right. The Buddha's great insight is that you suffer because you want. Your heart desires that which it cannot have, which to him was permanent. But he would teach a way, an eightfold path, that you could train your heart. I reference the East because the Western wisdom tradition is Christian. I suppose I could quote Marcus Aurelius or a Stoic whose counsel would likewise be to train your heart. But the point here is to show that the best of humanity in all times and places more or less comes to what C.S. Lewis called the Tao. Natural revelation, far from the noble savage, should lead you to Jesus' summary of what comes out of the natural heart. Out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. In natural religion, in the realm of the law, Jesus is not different from any of those deep, sturdy wisdom traditions. The fact that our age is ruled by foolishness is just testimony against it. At the end of the age, Sodom and Gomorrah will rise up and testify against us. If the wonders that had been witnessed to us had been done there, they would have repented. But this is where the religions and the philosophies of the world and Jesus separate. All of the religions and philosophies of the world, the religions of the law, will try and teach you a way. Confucius will train you to be a junzi, a gentleman. Buddha's eightfold path leads to nirvana. The Stoics' way of acceptance. Even the woke isn't really that different They've just made the path of enlightenment mandatory, a forced march. If we collectively force everyone to march this way, we will arrive at a utopia of social justice. But Jesus preaches the gospel. There's nothing that you yourselves can do. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit. You can spend 70 years training your heart, and without that Spirit, it will still desire foolishness. You can walk the eightfold path, but you will suffer without hope, absent the Spirit. Without the Spirit, social justice is just meeting the new boss, same as the old boss. But the Spirit that has been given to you in your baptism is a well of living water. That Spirit has been given to you by the free grace of God, purchased with the blood of Christ. The philosophies of every age put the burden on you and send you into the desert without water. Christ has given you the water that can turn the desert into a garden. And this is given to whoever believes in me. And that's where I'm going to start to turn audiences. Because the confession of that faith is the purpose of confirmation. If you confirmands were adults, baptism and confirmation would have been at the same time. In fact, the order might have felt switched. Having heard the word, one might have believed and confessed, confirmed it first. And baptism then would be a sacramental seal of that belief. But you three, along with many of us here, were baptized young. Our parents and sponsors confessed for us. Our parents ensured that we received instruction, as we've done in this past year, that we might come to know both Jesus and the Spirit that has taken residence in you through baptism. And eventually, that eventuality being today, the questions they confessed for you are put to you. As Jesus says, out of his heart will flow rivers, out of specific hearts. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The faith, once delivered to the saints through your parents, has been given to you. Do you confirm this gift? Do you confirm that baptism? And you get the opportunity to confess this publicly. And because God is super abundant in his love and his promises, there's even one of those promises for today. Everyone who confesses me publicly here on earth, I will also confess before my Father in heaven. I'll return back to you three in a second. The final word to those gathered. This might not be your day for that public confession, but every day we live can be that day. The living water will flow out of your hearts. Listen closely to the questions that these three will get in just a bit, and I'd urge you to renew your own confession. Let the Spirit leap forward in your hearts. Now, back to you three. one of the traditions of confirmation is the bestowal of a confirmation verse. It's printed on your certificates. Different places do it different ways. Because I'm a tyrant, I pick your confirmation verses. Although, I would hope you don't just take it as the meaningless action of a tyrant, but instead take it as the gift of a spiritual father. And Ethan, in your case, a physical father as well. Someone who is supposed to be more mature in the faith, who in prayer has picked out something for you to ponder. Hopefully, it will be a light to you at the appointed times. I'm going to go in alphabetical order to avoid playing any favorites here. Adam, yours is Proverbs 2, 6, and 7. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. I want to thank you for answering some of the questions that I threw out in our time together. I have this tendency to ask questions that I have no right to expect answers from. But multiple times, you gave me a surprise in knowing or offering an answer. Not the type of answer that you can memorize. I have a feeling that none of this group, well, maybe Coel in the last few weeks, has done the memory work that I would have liked or what was assigned. But Adam, you answered the types of questions that require some wisdom. And as Jesus said to Peter, when he confessed him as the Christ, blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. It wasn't my teaching. Wisdom, real wisdom. The stuff beyond just memorizing or just recognizing the way things are isn't natural stuff. Now, it's hard enough to recognize the way things just are, which is why we rightly revere those like Confucius who did. But the real wisdom comes from the Lord. Real wisdom comes from that indwelling Spirit. And the world will tell you that it's meaningless to read the Bible. Nothing worthwhile could be learned from there. The world will go so far as to say that everything you find in the Word of God is contrary to hard reality. But those are just the lies of Satan. Know that whatever you learn in your life, you never have to be afraid that it will conflict with the truth of the word. Because all knowledge and understanding comes from the mouth of God. Whether you study physics or medicine or cars or psychology or whatever you're going to do in your life, you are studying the mind of God. You are studying the way that he has ordered all things. Now, Satan at some point will make us all think that we have to trespass the word to grab the brass ring. But the promise of God is that he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk with integrity. If you have to trespass the word for the ring isn't worth having. It's already tarnished and decay. The sound wisdom, the stuff worth having, is for the upright. Don't descend to the beasts, but walk upright with integrity all your days. Follow that spirit that clearly dwells within, and you won't be disappointed. Ethan, I've given you Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes. Your dad, I think, was part of the last generation to grow up in what was called Christendom. And for now, just accept the definition of that as everyone accepted the basic teachings of the faith as good. Not everyone had personal faith. There might have been lots of people in the church on a Sunday that were there for reasons other than to receive the forgiveness of sins and to worship Jesus. But nobody would call you dumb for going to church. Nobody would exclude you from other things because you were a church member. You are growing up and coming to adulthood in a much different age. The faith that lives in you will get you called stupid. It will probably cost you some of those brass rings that I mentioned to Adam. The same faith cost the Apostle Paul, who wrote your verse. It cost him everything from his own world. Elsewhere in the Bible, he would tally up all the things that he had lost. And you conclude that it was all rubbish anyway. Satan and the world will try to shame you out of your faith. Don't give an inch. There's nothing shameful in the gospel of Jesus. For the good news of Christ is the power of God in this world. And it's the only thing that will escape this world. Because this world is coming to an end. It's already groaning. Don't be ashamed for boarding the ark. And this ark of Christ is your salvation. It's a sturdy one. It's proven itself over millennia. Don't be ashamed of Christ and his church. And trade it for some dinghy that will sink tomorrow, regardless of what paint job the world puts on it. Because this is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Koel, I've given you Psalm 103, 17 and 18. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. I don't want to put a downer on it, but the larger context of that psalm is something that you might hear at a funeral. As for man, his days are like grass. But such a reminder is salutary, is life-giving. There's only one thing in this entire life that lasts longer than the blade of grass, and that's love. Prophecies pass away, tongues cease, knowledge becomes useless. Faith and hope will eventually resolve, but love abides. And the love of your parents is a firm example of that love. But if you're like my kids at all human love is tested. There are certainly days I might tell Ethan, don't ask today. We parents, as I'm assuming in time you will understand, are sadly fallible. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. With God, there aren't those days when he says, don't ask. Because Jesus' plea is ask, seek, knock, today. God has loved you from everlasting, when he chose you before the foundation of the world, to everlasting. When on that new earth, in that resurrection body, that will not go away like grass. You have been loved with a steadfast love, such that even if we go astray, that love remains, scanning in the distance for our return. And because we have been so loved, from our mother's arms, he has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Because we have been so loved, he has given to us his righteousness, to our children's children. Because we have been so loved, recall the covenant and the commandments, and walk in them. They're not a burden, but a further expression of God's love. This is how we return the love that God gave to us, and how we love our neighbor. This is how we start to participate in that everlasting. Not that it's easy, but that is still the more excellent way. That's all I have. May the Lord bless you. And may that stream of living water flow out of your hearts from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.